Joshua 24 tonight. Let's start reading, praise God. Good night. Hey, you be quiet. All right, the Bible said, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and their heads, for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father, Abraham, from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came under the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen under the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand that ye might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, rose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted, not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the good people of God. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And thank you, Lord, for this place to be able to preach. Now, God, for just a little while, Lord, I help you. I pray you'd help me now to preach to your people. God, preach to these who are here under the tent tonight. Lord, I pray for the help of the Holy Ghost of God in preaching. Lord, I can't do it without you. I'm but a man. And Father, Lord, I sure need your help, dear Father. Lord, no better than anyone here, but Father, we sure need you. Lord, there may be some here tonight that don't know for sure if they died, they'd go to heaven. And Lord, even in this message, Lord, as I preach, God, to your people, God, I pray that you'd convict them and draw them to that place of repentance, that, Lord, they might get saved tonight. Holy Ghost, do the work that only you can do. God, we sure need you. We love you and praise you. Give us confidence. Give us help, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you a question. What kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of Christian home do you want? I want to preach for a little while on the title of this, The House of Joshua. I want to ask you a question. What do you want your house to be like? Now, you may be here tonight and you may be thinking, preacher, I'm not even married yet. But you better make the decisions of what kind of home you want now before it's too late. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, well, preacher, I've already messed up. No, you might have messed up, but that doesn't mean you can't change things now. Amen. What kind of home do you want? What kind of house do you like? I like the house of Joshua. The Bible said down there in verse number 14, here's what he said. He said, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you with me? Amen. Don't be wandering off down at Walmart in your mind. Listen to me. He said, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. You know what he was saying? He was saying, anything that's hindering you from serving the Lord, get rid of it. Anything that's in between you and God, don't let it come between you and God. Get it out of your life. And can I say to you, friend, every one of us here know tonight, if there's anything that's hindering us from serving God, we know what it is. The Bible said over there in verse 15, it said, serve the Lord. Choose you. That's personal. Choose you this day He said, that means right now, choose you this day whom you will serve, either the gods of the world or the God of heaven. Which one are you going to serve? You've got to make a choice, friend. Listen, there's a whole bunch of people out there that's not serving the Lord. There's a slew of people out there in the world today that ain't serving the Lord at all. They don't want nothing to do with God. They won't ever come to the church house. They won't ever give God their life. They live a stinking, wicked, ungodly, filthy life. They don't want to be here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and they definitely don't want to be here Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Friend, they don't want nothing to do with that. But can I say to you, there ought to be something inside a man that is saved and inside a woman that says, I want to serve God. And he's saying here in the Bible, choose. Which one you going to serve? The Bible said over there, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verse 17 said, for the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He's saying this. He's saying God's the one that has blessed us. God is the one that has saved us. God is the one. Why don't we serve Him? You see, Joshua is giving the children of Israel a history lesson. Down there in verses 2 through 13, Joshua's got them all gathered around him. And friend, he's giving them a history lesson. He's telling them how God's blessed them. He's telling them where God's brought them from. He's saying you ought to serve the Lord because of what He's done for you. Now, let me say to you, friend, Joshua begins to counsel Israel and he reviews their history and he says this, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And then he tells them this, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And after that, stay with me, he reminds them where they come from. You know, it'd be good for us every now and then to remember where God brought us from. It'd be good for us to understand and think about maybe what God has done for us, what God brought us from, or what God saved us from. Can I say to you, dear friend, you listen to me. Let me give you a little background history, friend, if I can, like he did with children of Israel. Let me give you some. The Pilgrim Fathers left England for Holland and then for America. And they left for freedom to worship God. Now, they won't teach you that probably in a public school, but that's what they did. And they left for freedom, but freedom to have a day of rest and worship was the chief motive of their migration. Stay with me now. King James, who was the king at the time, had decreed that Sunday was a day for sports. Ain't that something? And he even decreed or issued what they called a sports book. And then the Pilgrim Fathers, they said, They decided to build their families and their civilization upon another basis, so they came to America. That's the truth. From the very beginning in all the colonies, observation of the Lord's Day was part of the law of the land. There is no doubt that their observance of this day made a mighty contribution, listen now, to the moral stamina and the spiritual well-being of the nation, as well as to its material and economic prosperity. So stay with me. The Lord's Day gave a people a chance to know the Bible. A fountain whence have flowed the noblest streams of influence in religion, education, and the politics of the nation. So let me say it this way. The life that America lives today is the same life that the Britons wanted to live years ago, a few hundred years ago. And our founding fathers said, we don't want nothing to do with it. Let me say to you, America is known for their money, they're known for sports, they're known for their pleasure, but the American fathers cared nothing about those things. They cared more for God and the spiritual life of their families. Now let me say this to you. In colonial America, there were three different types of schools. There was a public school in New England, church schools in the middle colonies, private schools among the plantation owners of the South. In every one of these schools, the Bible, or else the New England Primer, which is based on the Bible, was the book out of which everyone learned to read for nearly a century in America. You listening? For 100 years. All the intelligent people became familiar with the great scriptural truth about the sacredness of the individual and the sight of God. Instilled in the minds of those who framed our Constitution was the idea that no one had the right to become a dictator because liberty was one of the inalienable rights which came from the Creator. Thus, the back of your democracy is the Bible. And they won't teach you that today in school, but that is a fact, friend, and that is the truth. And I ask you the question, whatever happened to the mamas and daddies and the grandmas and the grandparents that stood up for what was right and had a desire to raise their family and nurture their family in the admonition of the Lord? Today, can I say to you, we have families that do not want to separate themselves from the gods of this world and turn their hearts over to God who has blessed this great nation and our families in a marvelous way. Now listen to me, our families and our homes are in trouble. America's going to hell, friend, in a handbasket. You hear me? They're going to hell on a downhill slide, friend, and they're going fast. Let me say to you, friend, that there's people that do these statistics. I don't know how faithful they are, but this is an old one. They say that there are more than 35 million step-parents in this country.
They said that approximately one out of four or five children are under the age of 18 or in a step family. Now, I ain't trying to pour salt in an open wound or nothing like that. But can I say to you, friend, that's because of the split ups, because of the divorces, because of the sin, because it destroys. Remember, I asked you, what kind of home do you want? Listen to me, dear friend, a home like Joshua or a home like the world? You say, what's a home like the world? A home like the world is full of sin, full of self. A home like the world is a home that's full of sin and cussing and pornography and fighting and split-ups and drugs and violence and ungodliness and nakedness and filth. That's the home of the world. That's not the kind of home I want. You say, well, preacher, what do we do? Well, I like what Joshua did. We learn from people in the Bible, amen. Here's what Joshua did. He said this, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to give you something, friend. Joshua did three things I'm going to give you. Number one, Joshua made a declaration. Here's what he said. As for me and my house, that's a declaration. We will serve the Lord. That's a declaration. Can I say to you, dear friend, he made up his mind. I don't know how old he was. He might have been older maybe at this time. But I'm saying to you, friend, a declaration is an expression of facts and opinions and promises and predictions and is in writings, friend, records or reports of what has been uttered or has been declared or uttered. So in other words, stay with me. It was Joshua's opinion. It was his fact. It was his promise. It was in his writings. It was that his house is going to serve the Lord. And one of the greatest statements that Joshua ever made was when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I mean, it's all over the country, is it not? People got it on their plaques inside their house. They got it on little yard ornaments outside. They got it on their porch, hanging on their door, on the door knockers. I mean, it's all over the place. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. It's in all kinds of homes where people are not serving the Lord. They put the little plaque up that they ain't serving the Lord. Can I say to you, the reason is because they never made a declaration. Hear me, Daddy. Hear me, Mommy. Listen to me now. Joshua's declaration was a public declaration. Hey, you with me? It was a pronounced declaration. It was a proven declaration. It was a personal declaration. It was a parental declaration. It was a persuasive declaration. Joshua's declaration, listen now, it wasn't some head-hanging, whispering, ashamed declaration off in a corner somewhere. That's me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. No! He stood up in front of that crowd and said, hey! As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Made a declaration. Y'all listening to me? Y'all stay with me now. And I say to you, friend, where's the mamas and daddies that declare that? Where's the fathers and where's the mothers and where's the young people today and the teenagers? We got daddies today that are still bouncing on mama's knee and won't take a stand. You listen to me, mom and dad, listen to me. When you make a declaration, that means this. That means that you'll throw the sin out of your home. That means, friend, that you'll lead your family to prayer. You'll read your family the Bible. You'll bring your family to church. You'll raise your children to serve God. That means, friend, that whenever you make a declaration, that you'll say that music's not right, that clothing's not right, that attitude I'm not going to put up with. That means that you will declare that you and your family is going to throw the gods of the world out and serve the Lord. Amen. He made a declaration. He said, my house. Winston Churchill, listen to me. He said this. There is no doubt that it is around the family and the home that all the greatest virtues, the most dominating virtues of human society are created, strengthened, and maintained. You get that? Y'all with me? I feel like there's a lot of moving around. Try to stay still with me, amen. I need you to listen. If the father has no virtue and the mama has no virtue, listen, the kids ain't going to have no virtue. Daddy, you cuss, they'll cuss. You smoke, they'll smoke. You drink, they'll drink. You flirt, they'll flirt. You skip church, they'll skip church. You live a loose life, guess what? They're going to live a loose life. You look at pornography, they'll look at it. You gamble, they'll gamble. You don't serve God, they won't serve God. You make out church as just a place to pass by the time, like it's not important. They'll do the same thing. You know why? Because mama and daddy never made a declaration. That's why. Genesis 18:9, God speaking about Abraham. Here's what he said. Listen, he said, for I know him. Talking about Abraham. He said that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Hear me now, church. God was not worried about Abraham raising his family for God. Let me ask you a question. Is God worried about you?
Is God, I know God don't worry, but is God, friend, is He watching you? Is He wondering if you're going to serve the Lord, if you're going to raise your family for the Lord? What would be said about you if they spoke about you? Stay with me. You say, well, I'm older now, preacher. My kids are grown. Okay, grandma and grandpa, what are you going to do to help your grandchildren? Can I say to you that my grandparents were a huge influence in my life? My grandparents, my grandmother, and my grandfather, friend, on my daddy's side of the family, they did everything they could to make sure that their grandchildren was in the house of God. They did everything they could to be a testimony to us when we was around them. And I want to say to you, thank God for them. And I want to listen to me, friend. Here's a Bible verse in Psalm 119:106. He said, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. That's a declaration. Let me ask you a question. What kind of declaration have you made? Have you ever made a declaration that you're going to do something for God? How are we going to have a house like Joshua if we don't make a declaration? He made declaration number two. He had determination. He said this, preacher. He said, as for me and my house, two words, we will. That's determination. Listen to me, Mom and Daddy. The children of Israel, in name only, were worshipers of God. Yet they still had some of their false images and gods with them that they brought out of Egypt. Joshua did not like their double-mindedness, and God said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 1:8 says, So Joshua pushed the people to make a decision. Here's what he said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. You know, in 1 Kings over there in 18 verse 21, here's what Elijah said. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? He said, if the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. Joshua and Elijah are demanding for a decision with determination, and rightly so. And there are people in our churches today that are only worshipers in name only. Can I say to you, they have their secret Godhead out in their car or their house or their job. They live a worldly lifestyle during the week and a Christian lifestyle on Sunday. Let me ask you a question. Hey, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. You know what happened? Here's what happened. Now listen, I ain't trying to be mean, but stay with me. Then they come to church. You know what they do? They sing the church's music. When they get out in their car, they go home. They sing the world's music. They come to church and they talk like a Christian. Hello, brother. Hello, sister. Good to see you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. And they know how to say the right things. But whenever they get out there in the world, they talk just like the world. They come to the house of God. They dress like a Christian. They know how to dress. Amen. They know how to dress up for church. They know how to put a dress on or a long skirt on. Amen. Something nice, loose, and beautiful. Amen. They know how to do that. When they get out in the world, they dress just like the world. Let me ask you a question. How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow Him. You see, why have the gods of this world that you worship? Why not serve the one true God in sincerity and in truth? If it's right here, it's right out there. If it's wrong out there, it's wrong in here. Let me say, if it's wrong in here, it's wrong out there. That's what I meant to say. Now stay with me, friend. Joshua said this. He said, we will serve the Lord. He didn't say, we might. Don't you love it when you go to talk to somebody and try to get them to come to the house of God? They say, we might come. God help us. That means I ain't coming. He didn't say, one day I'll do that. He didn't say, when my wife serves with me. Big, strong man. He didn't ask for someone else's opinion. He said this. He said, we will. He was determined. He was determined to not let anything get in his way. He was determined to not let anyone change his mind. Can I say to you, the decision that Joshua made was an ended decision. It was a concluded decision. It was a decided decision. It was a fixed decision. It was a resolved decision. It was a directed decision. It was a determined decision. Friend, can I say to you, you give me a man that has determination, and there's not much that can stop him. Billy Sunday was determined to fight liquor and see as many people saved as possible. He did it. D.L. Moody was determined to start a young men's Christian association and do what he could do for God. He did it and a whole lot more. Listen, there's a fellow by the name of Charles Alexander who was determined to be the best song leader he could be and get as many possible to read a chapter a day in the New Testament known as the Pocket Testament League. Look him up. Can I say to you, friend, he did it. You know why? He was determined. Let me ask you a question, Mom and Daddy. What are you determined to do? Young person, what are you determined to do? Hey, listen. Are you determined to come to church every now and then?
Are you determined to not heed God's word and live life to the fullness of the flesh through worldliness and lust and enjoy the sin to its fullest height? Are you determined to worship God in name only and have that outward adorning of false beauty, and on the inside you're like ravening wolves? Are you determined to never mention the name of Jesus to any, that their soul may be saved from a torturous place called hell? Are you determined to die living a life of determination to never do anything for the one true God? Hey, what are you determined to do? Are you one of those who say, I'm determined to come to church every time the doors are open? I'm determined to obey and heed God's word. I'm determined to live my life to the fullness of the Spirit of God. I'm determined to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. I'm determined to tell others of Christ and what He did for the world. I'm determined, friend, I'm determined to get involved in the work of the Lord and serve Him till the day you die. Are you determined to take a ministry and build it to the glory of God? What are you determined to do for God? You say, well, I'm here at church. We're glad you're here. But don't take this wrong. Anybody can come sit in a chair. I'm glad you're here. But what are you determined to do for God? Is there ever been a declaration in your heart, in your home? Have you ever come to an old-fashioned altar and said, hey, as for me and my house, we will. And we're going to do it, and we're determined to do it, friend. Every single one of these men in the Bible were determined to please their God and serve Him. Listen to this. Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord and be used to save his whole family? Determination. Why was Job able to go through such suffering? Never quit on God. Determination. Why was Abraham the hero of faith and the friend of God? Determination. Why did Moses get to speak face to face to God, be the greatest leader of all time? Determination. Why was David the shepherd boy the greatest warrior and king of all time? Determination. Why was the Apostle Paul the greatest soul winner of all time? Determination. Why was Peter the bold preacher and the powerhouse for God that he was? Determination. Joshua said this. He said, as for me and my house, we will. He declared it. He was determined to do it. He said, as for me and my house, we will. Then he said this, serve the Lord. Joshua, friend, showed a demonstration. He didn't just talk about it. He didn't just act like it. He demonstrated it. Now stay with me. Many times when someone makes a statement of that nature, it's more talk than it is walk. But what Joshua declared, he also demonstrated. James 1:22 says this. Listen, he said, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving, he said, your own selves. In other words, there's people today that come to the house of God and they hear the preaching. They're hearers of the word. But when they leave, they don't do it. They don't demonstrate it. Are you with me? Joshua said this, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. To serve in sincerity means this. It means we're not to serve hypocritically. But we should serve Him from the heart. Then if that's the case, if we're serving Him from the heart, our service will not be an outward appearance. I don't serve God so that the preacher will recognize me. I don't serve God so that you will recognize me. You should not serve God, teach a class, run a bus route, sing in the choir, go soul winning, dress for the Lord, whatever you do, serve the Lord, witness for the Lord, however it is. You don't do that and serve the Lord so that somebody will recognize you, dear friend. You do it, friend, out of the sincerity of your heart. You demonstrate what you have declared. And what you have determined to do, you demonstrate it. Then he said to serve in truth. That means this, we will serve in honesty. If you say that you're going to do it, do it. If you say that you're going to serve God, serve Him. Let me see if I can remember this. One time, Brother Parchman, he's a guy I used to travel with. He's dead and in heaven now. He's not dead, but he's alive. Well, amen, he's in heaven. One time, he was here on earth whenever he was alive, and he was at a radio station, and the guy that was there, disc jockey, asked him this. He said, what do you see? I'm trying to remember. He said, what do you see is one of the things that is lacking the most in our churches across the country? And he said this. I'm trying to remember the exact words. He said, the lack of commitment on the part of the believer. People will not commit and do what they said they'd do. They won't declare. They won't have no determination, and they won't demonstrate what they said they do. Spurgeon said this. He said, "Does not Joshua's outspoken avowal make you blush? You are a spouse to Christ, you say, but will there never be an open marriage? Will you never take him publicly before the eyes of men to be your Lord and husband forever and ever?" He said this. He said, "Does Jesus agree to secret marriages? Shall your captain's colors never adorn you?" That is a questionable decision, he said, which dares not own itself to be on the Lord's side. In other words, let me put it to you in plain English. He said this. He said, "You say you're saved. Does anybody know it? Have you demonstrated your Christianity? You say that you're a Christian. Is it a secret? Do you ever demonstrate that you're a Christian? What area of service are you demonstrating your Christianity?" If I was to come to you tonight and I was to ask you, and I was to ask you with a mic, and I said, "Hey, tell me when you get saved. Are you saved? Are you a Christian?" There's a lot of people that would say, "Oh yeah, I'm saved." But do you realize there's a difference between saved people and people that are Christians? But Bert, you might be saved, but you might not be a Christian. You say, "What do you mean? How can you be saved and not be a Christian?" Because a Christian is Christ-like. And there's a lot of people that are saved that are not Christ-like. They're not like Christ at all. They don't have that spirit of Christ. They have the spirit of the world, which is the spirit of Antichrist. And I say to you, dear friend, if you're not Christ-like, you're not demonstrating your Christianity. Joshua showed his demonstration by saying, "The golden calf is not for me." Joshua showed a demonstration by saying, "The gods of the Amorites is not the God that I will serve." Joshua showed his demonstration by hating the way the crowd goes, hating the customs of the world, hating the temptations and trials of the flesh, hating the world's idols or devils. He showed a demonstration by saying, "The sins of the world are not for me." God said in Romans 12:9, church, for us. Are you listening? He said, "Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good." You know what that word "abhor" means? That word "abhor" means hate. You mean Christians are supposed to hate? Yeah. We're not supposed to hate people, but we're supposed to hate sin. Listen, he said, "Abhor that which is evil." Let me say to you, friend, in other words, we can show our demonstration by hating the liquor and the beer and the cigarettes and the fornication and the adultery and the sodomy and the drugs and the covetousness and the worldly gods and the discord sowing and the sex appeal and our dress standards and all the other evil, vile things that go across social media. We can hate all kinds of things that are ungodly and wrong. And we need people to hate sin instead of indulging in sin and loose living. Listen, do you let those things in your life? Is it easy for you to get involved in the things of the world? If so, you're not demonstrating your Christianity. Joshua said this. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He said, "We're going to get involved. We're going to do what's right. We're not going to have anything to do with that old ungodly world." He showed a demonstration by saying, "The sins of the world are not for me." Now listen to me, dear friend. I say the Christian ought to fly his flag at the top of the pole instead of half-mast. Are y'all getting this? The Lord is not dead. He's alive, and the world should know whose side you're on. I like it. Grace, come to the piano. That'll make them feel better. I like it when I walk in a restaurant and they rubberneck you. I love it. You say, "What are you talking about?" When you walk in a restaurant and they quit eating and they go like this. Like we just came off a planet somewhere. Are y'all listening to me? Let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever walked up to you and said, "Are y'all Christians?" If that ain't ever happened, I'd be wondering maybe if I've been a good Christian. Maybe we're not demonstrating it like we should. Look here, we're peculiar people. You understand? We're different. We ought to look different. We ought to talk different. We ought to dress different. Amen. 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 I like walking in a place and my girls looking like ladies. They got them long skirts on, praise God. Amen. Don't get mad at me. I'm talking about we ought to be Christians. I like it when my boys look like men. I try to carry myself like a man. Amen. I like it. You know why? People rubberneck you and look at you. If you're one of them Christians, y'all hearing me? If you're one of those that look like Christian, you dress like Christian, you carry yourself like a Christian, you talk like Christian, you live like a Christian, you walk in a place and they look at you, friend. You know why? Because it's very rare to see a Christian. We got too many people that call themselves Christians that don't even look like a Christian. Y'all listening to me? Don't get mad at the preacher, amen, for telling the truth. Amen. I feel a little bit of tension. Don't get mad at me for telling you the truth. I'm trying to admonish you. I'm trying to admonish you to look like, live like a Christian. Amen. Demonstrate your Christianity. You say, I want a home like Joshua. I want a house like Joshua. Okay. Joshua made a declaration. Joshua had determination. Joshua showed a demonstration. What are you demonstrating your Christianity? Let me say this. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe that's why you don't show that you're a Christian. Because you're not saved. Well, that's normal. It's normal. It's normal, Brother Allen, for people to not show that they're a Christian if they're lost. That's normal. We don't expect you to live like a Christian if you're lost. Matter of fact, God does not expect you to live like a Christian if you're lost. But if you're saved, He expects you to. But if you're here tonight and you're not saved, God don't expect you to live like a Christian. But can I say to you, you're taking a bad chance. Because if you die tonight without Jesus Christ, you'll go to a devil's hell. That's what the Bible says. The Bible said over there in Romans 3:23, said, for all have sinned. Did you get me? He said, all. That's everybody. That's me. That's you. That's the whole entire world. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us are sinners. Ain't none of us as good as Jesus. He said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of life is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he said this, he said, because you're a sinner, there's a payment, and that payment is death. And the Bible talks about death and hell were cast into the lake of the fire. And I say to you, friend, that's the payment for a sinner. But then he said, I'll give you a gift, and his name is Jesus, amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You getting that? John 3:16. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God said, I'm going to give you a gift, and that gift is Jesus. It's my Son. Here he is. He's going to die on the cross for your sins. He's going to go to hell and take your hell for 3 days and three nights. He's going to raise from the dead. He's going to take his blood, and he brought it to heaven, and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat. And God the Father said, I accept that blood sacrifice for the sins of the whole entire world, friend. It doesn't matter if you're a good sinner, a bad sinner, a black sinner, a white sinner, a brown sinner, a red sinner. Doesn't matter who you are, we're all sinners. And Jesus said this. He said, my blood will cleanse you and wash you from all your sin, and he'll save your soul. He said, for whosoever, in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say he might be. He didn't say one day he'll be. He didn't say if you go get baptized, you'll be. He said, if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Here's what happened to me. God convicted me of my sins. He showed me I was a sinner. Are you listening? He showed me I was on my way to a devil's hell. I realized I was lost. I went forward, let somebody take a Bible, show me how to get saved. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and save me, and I trusted in His blood sacrifice to take me to heaven. You know what He did? Saved me. Wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. My name is in the book. My name is there. I ain't got nothing to worry about. My name's there. It's there right now. Hallelujah. It's there. You say, oh, Brother Jason, boy, he might have a hard time. Truck might break down. The house may fall apart. I don't know. Trailer may blow up. Praise God. I don't know, but my name's in the book. Amen. The dog might get sick. Praise God. The cat may throw up and the chicken might get run over, but my name's in the book. Amen. I'm saved and I know I'm saved. Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're saved? Let me ask you a question. What kind of home do you want? Are you going? You want one of them homes like Joshua?
Are you one of those dads or moms or whoever that can stand up, even young person, that can maybe even come to an old-fashioned altar or stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Have you ever made that declaration? At the age of 19 years old, y'all hearing me? At the age of 19 years old, I made my mind up, Brother Jim. I said, I will serve the Lord. 19. I'm 44. I'm still serving the Lord. How come some ain't made a declaration? Let me see all the hands of everybody that's not married. Let me see your hand. Put it up. I'm not married. Put it up. Don't be ashamed. You ain't ashamed, are you? Praise God. Hey, amen. If I was single, I'd be throwing it up in the air. Praise God. Hoping all the girls would see it. Put it up. Let me see your hand. I'm not married. All right, you can put them down. You ought to be making a declaration right now that you are going to serve the Lord. You don't make it now, there's a good chance you probably won't make it later. We'll see where you'll be in about 3 or 4 years. If I had not made my mind up at the age of 19 years old, I'm talking about, friend, I went to an old-fashioned altar after I got saved. It wasn't long. And I said, this is it. I'm giving it all up. I had goals. I had dreams. I had all my life planned out that I wanted to do. I went to that altar. I said, God, I'm done. I'm yours. Right now, right here and there, I'm serving the Lord. Done. Everything I wanted to do, I'm forgetting about. And I think God's been pretty good to me. I think it's paid off. Brother Allen, sure is a blessing to be able to sit back and watch them babies sing and serve the Lord. If I wouldn't have made that decision whenever I was younger, I don't believe I'd be where I am today. Joshua said this. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What about you, friend? I wonder how many are here tonight that's not saved. I wonder how many here tonight, if you died, you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes just for a moment. If God spoke to your heart, you can come to these altars. Don't wait. You ain't got to wait. God spoke to your heart. You follow the Holy Ghost and you come when He speaks to you. But I want to ask a question. Those coming to the altar don't bother me a bit. Y'all keep your head bowed and eyes closed. This is a little private. I want to let it be private for those. Is there any here tonight that would lift their hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Now, I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't come to you. And I wouldn't point you out and try to make you feel bad. But is there any here tonight that slipped their hand up and say, preacher, I'm concerned for my soul. If I died, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Anybody like that? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody like that? You slip your hand up now. Just slip it up. Say, preacher, I'm concerned about my soul. I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. All right, let me see this hand. How many can say tonight, preacher, I am saved? Would you put it up? I know I'm saved. Put it up now. Don't be ashamed of it. Put it up high. I know I'm saved. I'm not ashamed of it. Put it up. All over the tent. I know that I'm saved. Good. You can put them down. Ain't it good to know you're saved? Some of y'all couldn't raise your hand. Y'all want to die and go to hell? That'd be an awful thing for somebody to leave the tent tonight, get in a wreck, die, and go to hell. That's awful. If you're not saved, get it settled. Let's all stand to our feet. If God spoke to your heart, would you come? Father in heaven, we sure love you. Lord, I pray you take the message and use it for your honor and glory. Dear Father, Lord, I want to preach your will, say your will. I don't want to say anything that would hinder. Lord, I sure hate the thought of somebody leaving this place lost. Lord, it's such a dangerous thing. Lord, they could die, just never know. God, I pray that, Lord, you draw them. I pray the Holy Ghost of God would draw them.
Holy Ghost, would you do the work that only you can do? In Jesus' name, with every head bowed, God speaking to your heart, would you come tonight? These altars are open, Mom and Daddy. Young people, what about it? Would you come? Would you come? Say, God, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Would you come? That's what this carpet's up here for. It's a place for you to meet with God, a place to kneel, an altar. Amen. Would you come tonight? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God speaking to you.